I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. Let me repeat that, because it doesn't matter. Everybody at one point in time was proud of your service, and you may have associated a little sense of pride, even though you don't want to show it. I know there's quite a few of you that say, oh, no, I'm not proud. No, at one point in time, you cried when they put that Navy ball cap on your head. I guarantee it. Or the Army ball cap, or I don't know what they do. You know, the Marine Corps, they get the EGA on you.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point in time, you shed a tear towards it, but you're no longer that.
Welcome to Your Story Doesn't End Here, the mental health podcast of military and veterans who refuse to be silenced. I'm your host, Rachel, and my mission with this podcast is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, bring awareness to mental health issues, provide value and solutions, and to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DoD organizations.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for coming back for another episode of Your Story Doesn't End Here. Today's guest is Chris Elder. Chris is a retired Senior Chief Petty Officer, and he talks a lot about transition and some other cool things. He also has his own podcast that I will let him talk about in his introduction of himself. And Chris, I'm just so excited for you to be on the show today. We connected a couple of weeks back and kind of had a little lull there in connecting, but finally got together. And it's cool what you're doing. Cool seeing you actively be a part of that transition process that I've learned so much about lately, and truly a testament to the success of those tools. So tell the people a little bit more about you, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Rachel, thank you so much for having me on here. And to your listeners that are on here, Rachel's got the biggest heart I've seen in this organization. There's so many people out there that are trying to help, and Rachel definitely stands out. So not only am I saying that, but I've got high praises from other organizations that are not even in the same geographical location as her. Maurice Wilson connected Rachel and I, and he is with the National Veterans Transitioning Service down there in San Diego, and he runs this program called Reboot. And I kind of got to experience some of his stuff as a retiring senior chief, and I had about 20 years in service, just under 20 years of service when I met Maurice. And I was kind of in a dark place when I met him and dealing with my own transition and dealing with, you know, what life has to throw at us. So a little back history on me. I retired in July of this year, 2023. I completed just over 20 years and 15 days of service. I was very fortunate to be in the situation I'm in. I was prepared to separate if I needed to separate, but I wasn't quite mentally ready to separate. I did my 20 years and I was ready to do more years, because what I wanted to do was make Mass Chief. It's kind of my career goal. You know, we should all be striving for the best that we possibly can be of ourselves. And I really felt that that was in the cards for me, but turns out God had a different plan for me. And I got medically removed from Japan, and my family and I had only been there for just over a year. I had completed a deployment, and then the medical staff there was like, oh yeah, about that, you're not supposed to be here. So I'm like, okay. And I was dealing with some medical issues, and instead of what the doctor was asking, the command was asking, even the detailer and everybody was asking, I was still sent to San Diego to separate, or to figure out my limb due situation, but most likely it was going to be a med board. So I was facing med board, and I had enough time to just rip off the Band-Aid and just retire, thank God. So I dropped my package. Let me tell you, when I had to move my family back to the States, I wasn't going to move them to San Diego just to relocate them back. up to Washington State. So we had to move my family into a trailer, and they lived on our farm. Thank God we had a farm. Thank God we had a shop. We were very blessed in that aspect, and we had the finances to just go buy a trailer and new cars, because we hadn't planned on doing any of that until 3 years. And that kind of set us back a little bit, because we had always planned on retiring, or even me possibly doing another overseas tour and then retiring. And it just kind of was just so messy and so vulgar. And it was just carnal. I was ripped away from my family for deployments over 20 years. But the fact that I could have been with my family, but couldn't be with my family at the same time, was really messing me up. I was in a dark place, you know. I think that's what it took for me to finally reach out and get help. And I finally got some help. And when I first checked into my command, I had support from my commander, from my XO, from my CMC, and they provided me a lot of support to do what ended up turning into my mission. It turned into a podcast. And that was to find resources for people and bring them to them. And sharing the stories with everybody was really the highlight of my week, to be able to find people out there that needed something and just didn't know those resources, and to be able to bring them into the command and just really make some considerable life changes. And so my partner and I, Yogi, were just talking, and we were like, dude, we feel like we're wasting time here if we don't record what we're doing. And that's how MilDeVet, Return to Roots MilDeVet, was born. It was born out of the wanting to make a difference and not just wanting to sit there and complain about things that we had no control over, but bringing some kind of value to our brothers and sisters that are going to be going through the same exact thing as we did. And it was born out of that. And we started in February. I just closed up our 50th episode. It's labeled number 40, but that's because we had a whole bunch of specials. So we recorded 50 episodes, and it's going strong. I just can't believe where we're at today from where we were in February of this year. It's amazing the things that we've got to do. The people that have been inspirational to us have just been amazing. And I'm very proud of the service that I have of my country, but I'm very happy to be with my family as well. I relearned what I want to be in my life, and that's to be a curator of growth inside my family, growth that are people that are around me, and help out my own community and be a light within the dark. So that's what MilDeVet is all about. And it's nothing more than Yogi and I, or Nuccio, or Mark, or Amy, or any of our team, Christine, just sitting there and just talking to people and getting those stories out there that need to be heard, and finding some of the answers that they found, you know. So kind of my two cents on MilDeVet.
I love it. I would like to take it back just a little bit to your transition out of the military. You said you reached out for help, and you had mentioned reaching out to, you know, talking to some people in your chain of command. But at what point did you get connected with the transition services? And the reason I ask this is because I think I see this all the time on the internet, is people are like, hey, I'm getting out of the military next year. I'm getting out in 2 years. I'm getting out in 6 months. Tell me what to do. And no one, it seems like, knows really where to look. A lot of people just reach out to kind of their internet resources, their Facebook friends on groups that have already gone through transition. So how did you get connected with the specific transition resources, my manager transition timeline, the stuff like that? that maybe a lot of other people might not know how to find that stuff?
You know, that's a great question. And one thing that we don't really do well is to think about what's going to happen in our next journey until our next journey pops up and hits us right in the face. And it's like, hello, I'm here. I attended my first transition class back in 2009 after I got back from Guantanamo Bay. I attended my first transition class because I was looking at getting out and becoming a deputy with King County here in Washington State. And at that time, my mind was set to get out and do that. So I attended it, and really that was about a year ahead of time. And I know I'm going way back there. So I want to put it out there that I attended that class and it made me want to stay in. It made me want to stay in it. And the fact that they promoted me at the same time kind of made me want to stay in. When I went through my actual transition, I attended a transition class, not really, it's not an actual class. It's more like a retirees class in Japan between deployment and detachment. And really there's not much time whenever you're forward deployed in Japan to even really attend those. So the fact that it just happened to be a happenstance that I was able to attend that at all with my wife. And so she kind of got a taste of it. And I would say that was probably about 18 months before I actually retired that I was able to attend that. Don't quote me on that exactly, but I want to say around that time frame. So after that, I didn't really do much. I had my idea about Survivor's Benefit Plan, what I wanted to do for investing, because at the time I was running a podcast called Chart Your FI, and I talked a lot about financial independence. And I shifted over to MilDeVet when I went to San Diego because I found something even more passionate of mine. And I didn't attend my first transitional type class until probably January, which was 7 months before I retired. And I couldn't get into the class until February-ish. I want to say ish. February-ish. If you listen to my episodes, I told you guys when I went to the class, but I didn't actually attend a TAPS class until then. And TAPS is Transitional Assistance Program, or you got TRS, which don't ask me what that means for the Marines, but it means something different. But it's essentially a class that is mandated by Congress for the services to allow you to attend, and they contract the Department of Labor, they contract the VA, they contract third parties to come in there to host this class of essential requirements that are on there. And they give you a checklist. And those of you that were attended during COVID, like yourself, may have not gotten that checklist at all. And that checklist is essentially what MYTT 365, which is My Transition Timeline 365, is all about. It's essentially what that checklist was built off of. And then they just kind of added some additional cool things to it. And it's all in an app, and it allows you to track your percentage, and it tracks you from 24 months before, and it also tracks you 365 days after. So it provides this safety net of, oh no, I need to do my VA claim. Because you only get from 180 to 90 days before separating to get that before discharge claim in. Or if you don't, then you're going to have to go and wait with everybody else that did it. So, and that's a really long, drawn out, painful process. And if you're not paying attention to your timeline, you can miss out on some amazing opportunities. And why it's so important to talk about this is 24 months, you need to know if you're going to do a skill bridge program. Let's just take that for example, because your command needs to know a year out before your PRD. In most circumstances, and they updated and tightened the regulations on it. So you really need to pay attention to all that stuff as well. And that's why MYTT 365 can actually help out a lot more people. And it's really the main resource that I offer on my show to people. And it's free. It's downloadable. It's on your phone. It's on Google and iPhone. It's all on Android. It's all on the palm of your hands. And then on top of that, they added another cool feature. Because before I tell you this cool feature, I want you to think about every time you went to medical, every time, and then you come back and your significant other asks you, well, what did they say at medical? Oh, I'm fine. I'm good. But really, they listed off like your high cholesterol, your glucose, your, you know, hey, your heart rate was really high. You know, hey, we signed you up for a smoking cessation that you just won't attend. You know, like all these things. Well, MYTT 365 gave you the ability to add your spouse in there to help you be accountable for both of your transition, because it's not just the service member that's transitioning out. It's also the dependents and everybody associated with you that are transitioning. So MYTT 365 is a powerful app. Stay tuned, because if you go to Mill the Vet, I'm going to be creating little films here shortly. I'm going to be releasing some content showing how I navigate through it, just to make it a little bit easier. And oh, well, that's pretty easy. And it's real basic. There's nothing too complicated. So that's just one of the many things that you need to do in part of your transition. And it doesn't cover everything, but it covers the heavy hitters. And there's so many resources out there. I've heard anywhere from 40,000 to 60,000 organizations out there that help service member transition. And you could literally spend your entire life picking one every single day and you wouldn't hit every single one of them. So yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah, part way. The other part of the question is, how did you find out about that app? Specifically, did they tell you about it in TAP class, or did someone tell you about it? Did you already know Maurice and he told you about it? Or like, how did that come across your path, that specific app?
So I didn't attend TAPS until 7 months before I retired, but I knew about the app at that time. And the reason why I knew was because I attended a transitioning program put on by an organization called 0800, which helps service members and transitioning service members and veterans that are in like a really difficult spot. They're kind of like the, oh shit, something happened realm. So they had an organization that hosted a whole entire meeting with all these other organizations where I met Maurice, and I met some other really cool people there. And Maurice and I, we just kind of kicked it off, and I attended one of his reboot classes, and that's where I heard about MYTT 365. And I really incorporated it into how I was helping other service members transition, because the command that I was at in San Diego, we had a high concentration of service members that were in the medical board or LIMDU or pregnancy situation. And even if they were pregnant, even if they were just LIMDU, or even if they were super healthy, this is important information for all of them. And so I was really helping people find these organizations. And Reboots program, that's an amazing class. I highly encourage everybody to go check it out. It would even be worth it to fly down there to go attend one of their one-day courses on the Midway or wherever they have it nowadays.
I think they have virtual occasionally too.
They do have virtual occasionally, but I'm telling you right now that in person, even the one day, is so worth it.
That's good to know. And I wonder if commands would do, what's it called? When they give you the temporary, I'm forgetting my acronyms, the temporary orders to go down somewhere for something. They do it for other things.
So TDY and TAD, yeah. They do accept, you would have to get no cost. The military is not going to pay for you to go to this, but they actually ask for people that shows up to it to provide them their TAD and TDY. So they know that their command knows where they are at. So they're very on top of wanting those kind of requirements, I think it's amazing. You should, if you are going to go, you should invite your chain of command to go check it out, because that's who really needs to be there to encourage other service members to go. We need to get senior leaders involved so that way they know about it. And then it's a tool in their toolbox to help their sailors, soldiers, Marines, guardsmen, all of them to transition out. So it's an amazing.
No, that's a good point, because I think one major issue that I had, as well as a lot of other people I've talked to transitioning out of the military, is that a lot of the people giving advice have never actually transitioned out of the military. So they're giving the best advice they can based off of the information they know. But I know, like for me, I was given instructions that were null and void. You know, they had been rewritten two or three times since that person knew about that Navy instruction. People don't necessarily know all the resources. They just know what the last person told them. And so to get senior leaders to actually participate in these tools and these resources so they can now give good information to these people that are transitioning, I think would be phenomenal. The other thing I want to talk about a little bit here is the TAPS program, because you mentioned that, you know, you went through it one time, it made you want to stay in, and then you went through it another time. And I think that TAPS, at least from where I came from, was usually seen as like a taboo type of thing. You know, if you're going to TAPS, oh, it means you're getting out of the military. And so then the attitude kind of shifts towards a certain person that's attending TAPS because they have now, quote unquote, decided that they want to get out of the military. And the way you talk about it, it makes it sound like TAPS is more of a tool just to give information and resources. And like I've alluded to several times, and like you've alluded to, when I went through TAPS, I didn't get that experience of in person to even know what it's really about. It was that JKO online, clicked through it, didn't get any information, probably should have gone to it again, but it is what it is. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to have a conversation about TAPS and kind of what your thoughts are surrounding that. And we'll see where the conversation takes us.
I think a lot of people put too much on TAPS, in my personal opinion. Too many people put, oh, I'm going to learn all this stuff in TAPS class, but realizing they know nothing till they walk in there. And then literally they have a whole entire agenda that they're just going to cram down there. And they don't even have enough time to really give it to you in a format that's really digestible. Think about it. It's a requirement for them to put those classes on. So do you think that they're actually going to be able to communicate everything to you in a way that you, me, person to our left and right, sitting in the class right now, is actually going to understand?
Yeah, not at all. And that's it's a week, right? Or did they shorten it?
It depends where you're at. Some places it's, I want to say it's between 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
And some places do have 5 days. It depends. And there's different echelons, you know, there's, regular TAPS class, and then there's, supplemental classes that they've done for like entrepreneurs or people that want to, get resume writing skills or figure out all these other things. They have supplemental classes that you can attend, but I'm going to tell you right now, the majority of people are not utilizing it or not prioritizing their time in a manner of putting in a darn request shit to your chain of command and making them deny you that way. If your supervisor says that you can't attend, you got to put it on paper. You got to put it on paper, you know, you got to request it. Because if you don't request it, then they can't actually, full on say that you can't go. So that's why it's so important. You have to advocate and you have to prioritize your time, because after you transition, it's all your time. And you're mandated to go before your 12-month mark. So if you're within your 12-month mark and you still haven't gone yet, wow, you're going to be behind. So it's in your best interest to advocate for yourself and don't just take the whole entire, I'm not going to be able to go because my supervisor said I can't go. You need to put it on paper. You need to actually write a request to it and route it. And don't let your chain of command, your immediate chain of command, I'm not going to say bully you or talk to you. Write alternate dates. Write the date that's even inconvenient for you. Write all those dates that are available on there and make it to where you prioritize your time to get into that class. It's not necessarily the supervisor's responsibility to get you to that class. It's your responsibility. And that's why at the end of every single episode, I say it's your transition. You need to take charge of it. I'm not telling you to take leave to go, but I'm telling you it's important enough to, if that's what you need to do to make it there, then you need to do it. It's so important. It's so important that you go. It's so important that you take your spouse and significant other to at least one of those classes, or at least afford them the opportunity to go, because they need to understand what is also going to happen, because things like survivor's benefit plan is not necessarily your decision alone. It is the family's decision on how that works out. So I think that everybody needs to go back to, it's an information requirement by Congress for you to attend that. And you're afforded two opportunities to go. And if you haven't hit, and if you're at the 12-month mark and you haven't gone, you're behind. You need to be doing that at 24 months. You need to be going to that thing twice. And you need to prioritize your time. So I think what would be really awesome is, because I know I could speak towards the Navy on this, they made it to where you had to decide whether you're going in, whether you're staying in, or whether you're getting out. And then you're stuck in that decision. I think that if they were to open that back up like it used to be, when people actually go to the transition class, and hey, commands, supervisors, leaders that are listening to this, I really hope you listen to this. Get your people into TAPS class before they make that decision. Because either one, they're going to be like, whoa, there's too much for me to do right now to make that decision in an educational manner. You know, with all the information in front of me, I think I'm going to do one more tour and get a little bit more college before I use my GI Bill, or before I think that, oh, well, my disability rating is going to be high enough for VR&E, which is vocal rehab, and essentially will do exactly what the GI Bill will do. If you're disabled, I think it's 30% or more. They'll actually pay for your college, just like GI Bill, and then some. They'll pay for your laptop if you require it. Like, those are things that you don't know until you go to TAPS class. And a lot of people don't know about VR&E because they take TAPS class once and they take it in such a short time frame that they're focused on get my VA claim, resume writing, and then they don't go to any of the supplemental classes. So just think of it like that. So I think it would be awesome. What do you think if the Navy were to change how they allowed people to transition out and allow people up to last minute to decide? I think that could probably add to their attrition rate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's multiple layers to it, because I think on one end of the stick with that policy, you get people that are literally waiting until like the month of separation to really make those like major decisions. Because I remember seeing that. But then on the other end of the stick, it opens up more freedom, and we have to start learning to trust people to make sound decisions for themselves. Well, how do we trust people to make sound decisions for themselves? We make sure that we are giving them the right tools from the beginning of their time in service to be able to soundly trust their decisions as a active duty service member to know that they are making the best decision for themselves. I think that a lot of it goes back to supporting and making sure that there's that the transparency about what is available. Understanding that not every single service member is going to be in for 20 years, and that's okay. Understanding that even if someone plans to be in for 20 years, things happen. Like, we always have to be at least thinking about the next phase. And I think that's an attitude that doesn't really exist in the military, because so many leaders, and this is from a junior enlisted standpoint, so many leaders are focusing on, okay, well, retention. How do we retain people? We make them feel like the military is their best choice right now. And it's not the best choice for everyone. And I boldly say that because there are some people that I think should have stayed in because they were phenomenal at their job. They were great leaders. They were great at their job. They chose to get out because of whatever personal reason. There are other people that I worked alongside and I'm like, man, this person's so disgruntled. This person hates everyone around them, hates their job. They need to get out of the military and they should have gotten out 2-3 years ago. And so I don't know that that's necessarily a one size fits all answer, but I think that if the military did focus more on supporting everyone in their journey individually and making sure that people were doing what they felt was best for them, not what they felt was, you know, a survival mode decision or a, oh, there's nothing else out there for me, so I'm going to stay in decision, which really could go both ways on a Navy policy for, you know, when people decide to get out. But I think regardless of when that decision to transition or stay in happens, it can be a stressful decision to make. And yeah, having it like a year out makes it a little more stressful for people when they haven't been thinking about transition. And then now all of a sudden they have to make this major life decision. That's kind of where I was at when the Navy switched their policy. I don't know if you remember this, when you had to match your PRD to your EAOS or vice versa. And we were told, literally in my shop, we were told the week of, hey guys, you have a week to make this decision, PRD to EAOS or EAOS to PRD. And, you know, and one side of my head, the little, you know, devil on my shoulder on one side was saying, oh, just, you know, your EAOS is in like 6 months or a year or something. So just get out then. But then the other side of me was like, oh, well, you're applying for an officer program and trying to do all these things, so just extend. And the advice that I was given from my upper chain of command was, oh, well, if you are applying for an officer program, it looks really bad if you decide you're going to get out. And so then in my mind, I'm not thinking about even looking at TAPS to explore my options. I'm not thinking about seeing what it might look like to transition out. I have that fear placed in my head of, oh, if I even try to explore another option, it's going to close off every other opportunity that I have, which it isn't necessarily the case. You know, I don't think that going to TAPS makes the overarching Navy look at someone like, oh, we don't want them in because they went to TAPS class. But I think that's kind of the attitude that's created around it. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not really a straight answer to your question, but did that answer it?
No, I think you did great. I think that the best decision made is the best decision that you prepared for. And you can't really prepare for transition if you don't go out there and look into it. Even as I was training my juniors and as others were training me, I was always taught to prepare for everything possible. Like, sit down and write it down on paper. I know every single sailor that's in here has had a CDB, whether they were present or not mentally, is another story. But everybody talks about writing your goals down on paper. Shoot, they even hand you a piece of paper to tell me what your goals are. And if you don't write it down on paper, it's not going to come to fruition. And then you're going to find yourself in a situation where when darkness does happen, because it's going to happen, we all have that whole entire, my identity is changing. It happens to all of us when we get out, regardless if you loved the Navy or if you hated the Navy, Army, Air Force, Space Force. I mean, how can you hate the Space Force? Coast Guard, you know, and all the other organizations out there, National Guard, Air National Guard, all of them, you still had the identity of I am X, and now I'm no longer going to be X. So you're going to find yourself in a situation where if you did not prepare for that moment, i.e. having someone to talk to, writing your plan down, working with your spouse, attending transition classes, finding tools like MYTT 365, and utilizing these resources to the maximum, when you're in that dark space, you may end up without a compass and you may get lost in the storm. So you got to take the time. It is your transition. You need to be in charge of it. You can't just expect someone to throw you a lifeline.
Yeah. You know, I think that the attitude of a lot of active duty, especially, is waiting for the next instruction, because not everyone in the military is like this. There are some people that are very proactive, but I think that there's also a group of people in the military, and it's not just the military, you find this in any organization, that are waiting for someone to tell them what's next, waiting for someone to be like, okay, now you're going to sign up for TAPS class. And the disconnect there is that, you know, this goes back to the support thing and knowing your people and, you know, whatever, you know, we could talk about that in a whole separate conversation, but not every command is going to take someone's hands like that until maybe the admin person sees a piece of paper that's like, oh shit, so-and-so hasn't done TAPS class yet. That's a requirement. Let's make sure we, you know, hustle them into this class really quick so we can check the box. But then now it has become more of like a check in the box than it is like, hey, they're in charge of, they're signing up for TAPS class and they're taking control of that. And so you bring up such a good point about that of, you know, people need to be managing their own transition, because it's empowering when you are the one that's in control of that next phase of your life and you're not waiting for someone who really has no vested interest in you getting out of the military, managing that transition for you, because they're just going to make sure that the requirements get checked. And, you know, they probably don't care if you do disability while you're still active or if you wait to file that claim till you're out. They probably don't care about, you know, all the other additional things that come along transition. They just want to make sure that their job is getting done. And to be quite frank with the listeners, that's all that they are really required to do. They have so many people to manage as a career counselor, as a LPO of a shop, as, you know, whatever insert leadership position here, that they're probably not thinking about all the millions of things that an individual person may or may not need to do. And everyone's transition does look different. Some people stay in their location, geographical area. Some people move and need a little extra support. I mean, there's so many moving pieces. So, you know, Chris, when you talk about everyone needs to be in charge of their own transition, their own, you know, identity, their own path in life, it's so true. And it can sound kind of harsh to people that are going through it, but I think at the end of the day, it really is a super empowering concept in itself. You mentioned the darkness that comes with transitioning, and I wanted to ask you about your transition and what you went through, because I think there is a theme with a lot of vets, myself included, that get out, that there's this time period that is just like, it's weird. It's like, and for me, it felt like an overwhelming amount of freedom that didn't feel like freedom. I just kind of did nothing for probably 2-3 weeks before I finally was like, what are you doing, Rachel? Like, you're sitting in your house doing like absolutely nothing, because I could, because I didn't have the military telling me I had to be somewhere. And then, you know, it's like these trickles of freedom, like pop in my head every once in a while, like, oh, I can leave the state without asking someone for permission or asking 5 people for permission. Oh, I can do my hair however I want without asking permission. But there was that overwhelm initially in the beginning. And so you separated with the support of the MYTT 365. And it sounds like you had, you know, you financially, you were able to have the things set in place that you needed to have set in place, but you still had that darkness period, if I understand it correctly, or talk to us about that.
I think that's a great question and something that everybody needs to know. And when I say darkness, okay, I'm not necessarily saying everybody is going to have the same level of darkness, but there's going to be an opportunity for that to happen in any transition, no matter if you're military or not, every transition comes with this little speed bump of, oh, well, shoot, I was running. You know, I'm running. I'm doing great. I'm top of my game. I'm a senior chief in the Navy, which for those that are not military that are in here, senior chief in the Navy is actually probably one of the coolest jobs I ever had. It's everybody sees you. They call you senior, but everybody sees you. They instantly give you that instant respect. You know, I earned my respect. I really did. I treated my sailors well. I cared for them. I treated my junior officers well. I treated my senior officers well. I was like, what's up, dude? Like to everybody. So I was probably the most unprofessional senior chief out there, but also incredibly professional at the same time because I was very organized. I would always get my objective done. And if I didn't, I always had ways to get it done. I was very, very all about that. Yes, we can. We can figure out a way to do things as long as it's in the black and white. You know what I'm saying? So I had all that going with me, top of my game, living the good life and all the notorieties that come with it. And now I'm just Chris. And it doesn't matter if you were a senior chief, if you were a seaman, or if you were a captain of a ship, when you get out, you're just Chris. You're no longer part of that organization. You have lots of friends that are in there, and there's nothing wrong with them moving on because that's what they need to do. They have the mission to focus on. But you're no longer moving on with them. You're no longer relevant inside of that organization. And for some, they're like, okay, how do I sign up for this? I get it. But for some of us, it was a little rough. Or you're used to getting that paycheck on the 1st and 15th. Let's talk monetary, all right? That 1st and 15th, as long as you put your uniform on, you showed up where you're supposed to be, you did somewhat decent work, you were guaranteed to get that 1st and 15th. And when that 1st and 15th doesn't happen, you're like, oh, ouch, I felt it. Or maybe it could be an honor thing. You know, your family's incredibly proud of your service. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. Let me repeat that, because it doesn't matter. Everybody at one point in time was proud of your service. And you may have associated a little sense of pride, even though you don't want to show it. I know there's quite a few of you that say, oh, no, I'm not proud. No, at one point in time, you cried when they put that Navy ball cap on your head. I guarantee it. Or that Army ball cap. Or I don't know what they do. You know, the Marine Corps.
They got the Eagle Globe and Anchor in the Marine Corps. Yeah. That's all I know.
Yeah, they get the EGA on you. Yeah. You know, at that point in time, you shed a tear towards it, but you're no longer that.
Yep.
And that disassociation from that time frame of, well, who the hell is Chris? Well, Chris is always there. Like, and that's why it's so important that when you do get into roles where you are a leader, you show people who Chris is. Chris is growing at the same time that Senior Chief Elder was growing. That's why it's so important. And we honestly believe that if you don't have a supportive tribe while you're transitioning, so MYTT 365 is a great app. It's a great app. And Reboot offers weekly musters on the weekends, on Saturdays at 11, if I'm not mistaken, that you can attend. And that's a great way to find a tribe. You need to build a tribe. And that's why our slogan is build your tribe. It may not be with us, but you need to build a tribe. You need that support network. You need to seek mental health help if you have any inclinations at all of, should I? Well, then if you're asking that question, you should. Because there's going to be some rough times ahead. It doesn't matter how prepared you are. Rough times are going to come ahead. And I tell you what, It doesn't matter how prepared you think you are financially. There's something out there that's going to hit you where it hurts. All of us get it. So that's my two cents on that. You need to have a tribe, the supportive network. You need to build that up. And that's because that those dark times are going to come for you in that transition. And it could be all rainbows and unicorns. Just let me know where that's at so I can join you on the rainbows and unicorn ride.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think from the outside looking in, well, at least when I was active duty and even a little bit as a vet, we watch people's journeys, right? Like, social media has become such a huge part of most of our lives. And most people aren't sharing the hard times on social media. You know, we see someone get out, we see their big fancy house, we see them going to school, we see them maybe taking vacations, we see them, you know, dyeing their hair crazy colors, for the men growing beards, and it's like the grass is always greener on the other side, right? Yeah, yep, you grew out the hair. And on the active duty side, it's like, oh man, that looks like so much freedom, that looks so cool. But I think for me, when I transitioned out of the military, as much as I was disgruntled a lot my last few years in the military, when I became a veteran, I started to appreciate the things that I missed out on appreciating while I was still active duty. And so I think that the overarching message is, yes, find a tribe, support, take care of your own timeline, take control, but also make sure that you're always finding the beauty in where you're at in life, because at some point you're going to look back at whatever that season was, no matter how good or difficult it was, and be like, damn, like, there was some good in that. Or, you know, damn, I missed out on, you know, some really cool stuff because I was just busy being bitter or something, you know? Yeah. So yeah, you brought up some really good thought-provoking things there. And, you know, also understanding that even if you have all the support, you might still, just to put it blatantly out there, you might still have those dark times. And from what you're saying, you had all the support, or you had quite a bit of support, and you still, you know, we all go through it. It's an identity shift, and that's okay. So, yeah.
And I want to throw out one more thing to the leadership, the active duty side leadership that are listening, to voters, to people that are in this country that have the ability to advocate for change in our community. We need to advocate for communities to help out in the transition. And that's why I talk about MYTT 365 till I'm blue in my face. And there's some really great reasons why commands should be really interested in these, because it literally takes those overworked NCs, those career counselors and whatever branch you're in, and it takes those overworked guys that don't have the ability to really track them, and it puts it onto the community to help with their transition. Community needs to be in transitioning and reintegration part of people's policy. So I want you guys to really take heed of what I'm saying. If the community's not involved in this, we are going to fail more people over and over and over again. Don't point at the VA. Don't point at the services. For goodness sake, I do not want the Department of Defense in charge of transition. They put warheads on foreheads. Keep them good at that. They don't need to be good at transition. But us as a community need to wrap around these organizations that are out there and get them in the hands of those service members that are going to be transitioning, or those veterans that have already transitioned. Don't even forget about Gold Star families. Don't forget about the family members of those who are in the military, because they are still transitioning, and they have a lot of other things. Like, there's so many resources out there. Like, just take advantage of them and take charge of yourself. So I'm off my soapbox.
And I did a really good episode with Maurice Wilson a few weeks back that gets into more about what that means on the community side. So if you're listening and you're confused and you're like, well, wait a minute, like, how is a community involved? Go back and listen to that episode, because Maurice talks a lot about what that can look like. We're working on getting community initiatives established on Whidbey Island. I know down in San Diego and Southern California, there's quite a few things going on. And I believe Maurice mentioned a few other places across the US. I know they're working hard on getting community initiatives and reintegration established, but it's so true. The support, that support piece that we talked about so many times here in the last little bit of this episode, a lot of that support can and should come from the communities that veterans are moving into, whether that's a small town smack in the middle of nowhere in the Midwest, or it is a place in Virginia, which is a very military heavy area. But support, support, support matters. And if you're listening and you're trying to figure out how you can support, you can connect with Onward Ops, the ETS sponsorship program. From what I understood, you do not have to be a veteran to sponsor someone who's transitioning out of the military. So that's a really good place to start if you don't know where to start. And that alone, just having that warm handoff, really means the world to so many transitioning service members. Chris, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. I just want to give you a minute to tell the people where they can find you, connect with the podcast, and anything else that you want to put out there about connecting with you and supporting you.
So you could look up MIL, so MIL number 2, VET.com, MILtoVET.com. And we have that all over our socials and stuff like that. We're the only MILtoVET out there. So hit us up there. If you want to link up with me, at Respect Thy Elder is my handle on everything. So you can look me up at Respect Thy Elder.
I love that. I love that handle. All right. Anything else for connecting with you or supporting you?
Honestly, just go out there and kill it, guys. Take charge of your stuff. And I'm always here. I take phone calls all the time. I feel like I have found a new thing that really helps me out with my own stuff, and that's through helping other people. So,
all right. Well, if you're listening to this and what Chris is saying is resonating with you, even if it doesn't resonate with you, go leave a rating and review on his podcast, because that helps podcasts so much. And share it, because it might not resonate with you and might not help you, but I guarantee you someone in your network needs that information and needs to know where to find that information. And the more we can break these barriers to entry for resources and in information, we truly are saving lives, because that transition can be incredibly stressful mentally on service members that are getting out and maybe don't have support. So Chris, to wrap up the episode, and you might've already said this, but you can repeat it if you've said it already, any last words or pieces of advice that you want to leave the listeners with?
Thank you for your service. And I don't say that facetiously. I mean it. No one else raised their right hand to serve this country other than us. And not many people, a small percentage, are even allowed to do what you did. So from the bottom of my heart, to you and your family members that also serve, thank you for your service.
Thank you for taking the time to listen in today. With your support, we are able to increase awareness of the mental health issues affecting service members and veterans today, with the goal of creating positive change. If you got value from this episode, please take 30 seconds to subscribe and share this episode within your own network. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your mental health matters, and your story doesn't end here.